Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is risen. Hallelujah. Say together with me, won't you, the title of today's sermon, Lazarus, come out. Based on John 11, let me read the verses for you. When Jesus came to Bethany, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. He said to Lazarus' sister Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Do you believe this? When Jesus saw his sister Mary weeping, and those who came with him also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and said, Where have you laid him? They said, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. And then he came to the tomb. It was a cave with a large stone lying against it. And Jesus said, Remove the stone. Martha said, But Lord, there will be a bad odor. For he has been dead now in the tomb for 4 days. Jesus said to her, You will see the glory of God. And so they removed the stone. And Jesus cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! And he who had died came out, bound hand and foot with wrappings in his face, wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said, Unbind him and let him go. I encourage you to follow the sermon outline that's been provided for you in the handout as we consider together our theme, Lazarus, come out. When I was in high school, it's been a couple of years ago, on the night of our high school graduation, just before the ceremony, the father of my friend Susan died. A few days later, I attended his funeral and I went there to support Susan. She needed my support. Her family were unbelievers. And the funeral was held in a public social hall and it was dark and it was sad. I knew right away the funeral would be a challenge when I looked at the funeral folder. For written on that funeral folder in bold letters was this message. There will be no singing. It's quite common, actually. Few people feel like singing in the face of death. Running, perhaps. Crying, probably. But singing? Not at death. Death steals our reason to sing. Death takes the song from our lips and leaves in its place stilled tongues and tear-filled eyes. Come with me this morning, won't you? Hope you have your walking shoes on. Come with me to a small village named Bethany. It's just 2 miles, 3 kilometers outside Jerusalem. There we will meet Jesus and 2 sisters, Mary and Martha, of a man who recently died. His name was Lazarus. It's his funeral we're attending today. There was no singing at his funeral either. Mourning, weeping, and wailing. But no singing. The house of this dead man and his sisters was more like a prison that day than it was like a residence. People shuffled around aimlessly like prisoners in jail cells. Their faces pasty white. Their eyes full moons of fear. On their lips was no music, no laughter, only the bad news that reminded them of their own fate. Another prisoner had been released, had been marched from his cell to the graveyard. Lazarus was dead. And the people gathered that day were in their own prison of sorts, awaiting their turn at death. Now come with me to an island in the Pacific called Guam. A man named Chokoi Yokoi, try saying that fast 3 times. Chokoi Yokoi spent 28 years in prison Not a prison with iron bars or with guards, but a prison of fear. When the war began to turn against the Japanese in World War II, Shokoi was a Japanese soldier on the island of Guam. And fearing that defeat and capture by the American forces meant horrible torture and death, he ran into the jungle and hid in a cave. He didn't believe, as he had been promised, he would be taken care of and fed. He later learned that the war was over only when thousands of leaflets were dropping by airplanes to tell the people on the island the war is over. Still, he feared being taken as a prisoner. So he remained in this cave for over a quarter of a century, for 1028 years. You go home and look it up. He existed by coming out at night, eating frogs and rats and roaches and mangoes. It was only when some hunters discovered him that he was convinced it was safe to leave the cave of his own self-made prison. Shocking, we say. How could a man be so blind? Tragic, we say. What a waste of life. A pity, we say, that a human being could be so imprisoned by fear that he would cease to really live. A life wasted by pacing back and forth in a self-made prison of fear. It is shocking. It is tragic. It is a waste. But today, my friends, it's far too common. The fear of death has filled many homemade prisons. You can't see the walls. You can't see the iron bars. You can't see the guards. But you can see the prisoners. You can see them as they exist in their self-made prison of fear, really afraid to live. They want to live, but they cannot because they know they're doomed to do what they most fear doing. They will one day die. My friends, death is real. We can't escape it. To quote the old boxer Joe Louis, as he spoke to his opponent in the ring in the late 1930s, he said to the German champion Max Schmeling, "You can run, but you cannot hide." Today, on Easter Sunday, if you think we have gathered here to run away from the reality of death, you'll be disappointed. We have not come to deny death or run away from it. We have come to face death and to shout at death, look at death right in the eye, and in the name of Jesus say to death, "Death, you are overcome. Death, you are defeated. Jesus' resurrection is the death of death. He is risen. Come back with me to the village of Bethany and to the funeral of a man named Lazarus." My throat is a little tightened today. Jesus' throat was probably tightened as he walked amidst those people in that home. They were imprisoned by their fear of death. How long would these dear people listen to the lies of the devil that said there's no hope, there's no future? How long would they be in bondage? What would he have to do them that he was stronger than death? Hadn't he proven it earlier by raising the son of a widow in the village of Nain? Hadn't he done it earlier by the raising of a daughter of someone named Jairus in another town? How long would these people lock themselves in a prison of fear? He had shown them the key to unlock the door, but they wouldn't use it. So Jesus spoke to the crowd, "Show me the tomb." They led him to the burial place of Lazarus. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "No hope," this stone boasted. "No more," this stone proclaimed. "No longer shall this man speak. No longer shall his feet walk. No more." The people who gathered there wept. And in the shortest verse in the entire Bible, just two words, St. John tells us what Jesus did. The text says in John 11:35, Jesus wept. He wept not for the dead, but for the living. He wept not for the one who was in the cave of death, but those who were alive living in the prison of fear. Yet the command of Jesus was firm, remove the stone. But Jesus, they replied, he's been in there 4 days. It will really stink. Jesus said, remove the stone and you will see the glory of God. My friends, stones have never stood in God's way. They didn't stand in his way 2,000 years ago in that village of Bethany, and they didn't stand in his way a little over 100 years ago in Europe. Let me introduce you to somebody this morning. She was a royal relative of Queen Victoria. She was a countess. If she was known for anything, she was known for her unbelief. She had no use for God. No use for Easter. It was her firm conviction that no one could call life from a tomb of death. So before her death, she left specific instructions that her tomb was to be sealed and covered with a thick slab of granite. And she commanded that the blocks of heavy stone be placed around her tomb and the corners of the blocks of stone be fastened together and bolted to the granite slab with huge iron clamps. This inscription she had inscribed into the granite stone slab. This burial place, purchased to all eternity, must never be opened. All anyone could do to seal the tomb was done. The countess ensured that her tomb would serve as a mockery to the resurrection. A small birch tree, however, had other plans. Its roots found its way between the heavy stones and grew deep into the ground. Over the years, it forced its way up until the iron clamps broke loose and the granite lid was raised. And soon the heavy stone cover now was resting against the trunk of a healthy and alive birch tree. The mocking inscription on the tomb was permanently silenced by the work of a determined tree, by the hand of a mighty God. Come with me again, won't you, back to the village of Bethany, to the tomb of Lazarus. Lazarus, come out! It only took one call by the voice of Jesus. Lazarus heard his name. His eyes opened up underneath the burial cloth. His hands raised, his knees lifted, his feet touched the ground. The dead man came out! And then Jesus speaks these words, take the grave clothes off of him and let him go. The raising of Lazarus is only a preview of Jesus' Easter resurrection victory. The raising of Lazarus is just an appetizer to the main course served on Easter. But make no mistake about it. By raising Lazarus from death, Jesus showed himself to be the one who has power over sin and death and the grave. By raising Lazarus from death in the tiny village of Bethany, Jesus was giving them and giving us a foretaste of the feast to come, of his Easter victory over sin and death and grave for all people, for you. And thank God for me. In this Lazarus account in John 11, before Jesus went to the tomb, he spoke some words to Lazarus' sister that he speaks to us today. Listen to this promise of the Lord just for you. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he dies, yet shall he live. Whoever lives and believes in me will never truly die. Do you believe this? Let me ask you again. Do you believe this? There's a story told in Brazil about a missionary who discovered a remote tribe of Indians living in the deep part of the jungle. They lived near a large river. The people were in desperate need of medical attention. A contagious disease was ravaging their community and people were dying daily. But a makeshift hospital was located in another part of the jungle. The missionary knew the only hope for survival for these people was to get to that hospital for their inoculations. In order to reach the hospital, however, they would have to cross the river. But this the tribal people were not willing to do. The river, they believed, was inhabited by evil spirits. To enter that river meant certain death. The missionary tried to overcome the superstition of the people. He explained that the medicine they needed to stop this terrible disease was located in that hospital just across the river. They didn't budge. He explained how he had, after time and time, crossed that river himself. That didn't work. He led the people to the river, dipped his finger and toes in the water, and moved it back and forth, but they would not enter. Finally, the missionary dove into the water, dove into the river, swam underneath the surface till he surfaced on the other side. And having proven that the power of the river was a farce, the missionary lifted his fist in triumph and said, I made it, and so can you. The people broke into cheers and they followed him across that river. In that tiny village of Bethany, Jesus found a people enslaved by their fear of a cheap power. He explained to them that the river of death did not have the last word. But the people would not believe him. He had touched a little boy and brought him back to life. They were unconvinced. He had whispered life into the body of a dead little girl. They still were unbelieving. Then he let a man stink in a tomb for 4 days and called him out. Was that enough? Guess not. For it was necessary for him to enter the river, to submerge himself in the waters of death, and then to emerge himself, punching his fist in the air and crying out, I have risen! I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus did not just declare, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus demonstrated. Because he came out of the other side of death's river, we can follow him across and celebrate. Easter Sunday declares that Jesus has the eternal victory over sin, death, and the grave. Death and the grave could not hold Jesus. Death and the grave could not hold Lazarus. Death and the grave cannot hold you. One day long ago, in a tiny village of Bethany, our dear Lord Jesus declared before a tomb of death, Lazarus, come out. And Lazarus heard and came out. And one day in the future, in your future and in mine, our Lord Jesus will declare, Herbert, come out! Tatiana, come out! Anthony, come out! Stephen, come out! and we will come out. And we will spit on the grave and spit in the face of death. Why? Because he is risen.